Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and whenever you're listening. I want to congratulate you on taking steps on being the best expert in your field. Whether you are a lender, a real estate agent, someone in title, an attorney, whatever you do in the real estate space, we believe this podcast is going to help you to perfect your craft, and we are excited to share with you today. We're going to be talking about asset qualifier and I-10 mortgages, how those can help you close more deals every single month. But before we go any further, we are joined today by Chris Brazell, Director of Operations for the Sherry Riano team. What's going on?
How are we doing today?
Doing good, man. Doing good. I'm excited. We are on the final episode of our non-QM mini-series that we've been talking about. We've discussed bank statements, 1099s, DSCRs, all the good stuff, P&L loans. And I think these last two are some of the ones that we hear of the most, honestly, between asset qualifier and what that means in I-10 buyers. So before we get into those, we have to give you our non-QM disclosure. Check with your lender before you ever make an offer with one of these programs. These are not Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac backed products. So this is something that can change literally overnight. We will always want to make sure that that client still has the same structure available to them. The rates have not pushed them outside of guidelines, just all the things that come along with non-QM. So before you ever utilize one of these products to get your clients into a home or buy their next home, please check with your lender first. Without further ado, let's talk about asset qualifiers. Chris, can you tell me a little bit about what it is?
Yes. So this is a loan that we're not going to be using any kind of income for qualification. This is geared towards the type of person that, you know, maybe retired, maybe they work part-time, maybe it's seasonal work, or they're self-employed and they don't have any income, but they have a lot of assets. So it's based for somebody that is sitting on a lot of retirement accounts, you know, investments, portfolios, things like that. Somebody that just has a lot of money that they have access to, but they don't want to use it to pay cash for the house. The reasons they may not want to pay cash for the house is, one, mortgage interest is deductible on your tax returns. Two is they want to keep their money in their portfolios to gain money for them as far as investments and things like that. But it's a way that we can look at their assets and get them qualified for a mortgage.
Okay. So similar to a DSCR loan we talked about a couple weeks ago, where no income required on the application on a lender's side of things does look a little funky because there are no DTIs for DSCR. You will have that, I guess, with an asset qualifier, debt to income ratios, but it really kind of, it's more determined on how much assets is available to the client.
Correct. Yeah. Well, for example, I did a loan, this type of loan for somebody a little while back where the guy busted his butt, did a great job in his industry. I believe he was in IT, like a software developer, sold the company. He made a lot of money. And so he was sitting on a lot of money and he retired at an early age, but he wanted to buy a nice big house. Well, he had the assets. He could literally write a check and pay for the house in cash. Didn't want to. And so we put him in one of these loans.
Okay. Okay. Yep. Is this something you can utilize to buy like a second home, an investment property? Talk to me a little bit about that and how that is maybe different between the home types.
Yeah. So for an asset qualifier, it's going to be your primary residence only.
Okay.
And so you do have to, they want you to have skin in the game as well. So one, this is going to be a little bit higher minimum credit scores than our other non-QM loans. They want you to have a 700 credit, show that you can maintain good credit, pay your bills on time, and minimum 25% down on a primary residence. So that the loan to value is going to be a little bit lower than our other non-QM loans. Again, just to get skin in the game for the borrower, a little bit higher credit score requirements. And the only home it works for is a primary residence, but can go up to a $3 million purchase on these.
Okay.
$3 million loan amount, excuse me. So, which is a higher purchase price, but you know, we have a lot of flexibility in those higher purchase prices as well.
Okay. One thing I do like about this program is it does have an interest only option in an area where we're appreciating so much. Maybe someone just wants the absolute minimum. They're going to ride the wave for the appreciation, but they don't want to have to pay down on that mortgage, you know, that increased monthly payment. They do have an interest only option for this, which is really nice, especially for someone maybe that's a little bit older. They've spent their life working. Now they want to enjoy the fruits of it. They don't want to tie up as much monthly income as possible.
Correct. And they know they're still going to gain the appreciation. You know, I think it's hovering around 5% appreciation in the area right now. So even if you're paying interest only, not paying the principal balance down on the loan, you're still going to increase your equity in the house just by the appreciation in this area. So it's a win-win. Get you in the house, you know, write off that mortgage interest when you do your tax returns and still gain appreciation on the home that you're investing in.
That's good. Yep. That's good. Why do you think, and this is probably subjective, but why do you think this program type requires more of down payment and a higher credit score than I think DSCR was like, you know, 680 or 660 and then only 15% down for some programs. Is it because you think the investment properties are income producing? And so like there's that, you know, consideration or what?
That's correct. So all of our other non-QM loans have some sort of income shown, whether it's the property that produces the income by the rental comp schedule. You know, a 1099, we're still looking at the clients making income on 1099s. You know, P&L loans, again, we're still showing that the business is making money via the P&L. On these, it's literally no income. And so we don't have a source of income at all. Excuse me. And so it's just based off the assets of the borrower. And so without the income, it's going to have a little bit stricter and tighter guidelines. And again, I'd like to use the saying more skin in the game. And from a mortgage standpoint, why they want people to have more skin in the game, it's harder to walk away from. Once you put that 25% down, you're invested in this house.
Yeah.
And you're not just going to let it go by the wayside.
So from an investor's point of view, they give you the loan, you put 25% down, you walk away. The investor makes 25% return on their mortgage.
That's it. Exactly. Resell the house on the market because the commodity is the home that the lien is placed on for the mortgage, and they make their money back. And so they want you to have that 25% built in equity in the house.
Outside of the required down payment, this loan, I think, reminds me of the Wild Wild West of pre-2008 more than anything,
yes.
Just because there is literally no income mentioned anywhere. Like, you know, it's not income producing property. The borrower does not have an income. They just got a stack of bread they're willing to lay down.
That's right. Yep. And so how that works, just kind of real quickly touch on the nuts and bolts of it.
Yeah.
Is that any, we still pull credit. Obviously we need to have the minimum credit score, but any debt that's shown on your credit report plus the proposed mortgage payment, as long as you have enough assets to cover those payments for the next 60 months, which is 5 years, and we take 75% of the total assets. So we can't utilize all of it. You know, we look at like, variable investments like stocks and things like that, that could lose value. So we use 70% of the total assets. And as long as you have enough to cover the payments of everything for the next 5 years, based on those assets, you qualify. It's literally that simple.
So, I mean, let's do real numbers. Just an example, you're sitting on $1 million and we use 75%. So we're looking at 750 grand. Mm-hmm. Over the next 5 years, broken up over 60 months, which is 12 months in a year, for five years, you're looking at $12,500. That right there becomes your qualifying. Boom, you got a loan if your mortgage payment is less than that.
That's correct. That's, you got
nuts.
It. It's that simple.
That is nuts.
So less documentation for those borrowers. No tax returns, obviously, because no income.
Sure.
All we're looking at is the assets to qualify.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit. We do hear from this a lot, I-10 programs. Mm-hmm. So I-10 mortgage loans. Talk to me a little bit about that. What are we looking for as far as, you know, property? Is it a primary investment? Are we looking at, you know, condos? Or what's the debt to income? What's the flexibility there? Yeah. What do we have?
Yep. So let me start by first saying what an I-10 is, because people may not know that. And so basically what that is an individual tax ID number. And it's simply stated, it's somebody that has a tax ID to work legally in the United States, but they do not have a social security number.
Okay.
And so they have a tax ID number so that they can pay their taxes on an annual basis, just like they would with a social security number, but they are a legal resident that works in the U.S., but do not have a social security number. And so this is going to be primary residence only as well. So these two programs we're talking about today, unlike the other programs we've talked about in the non-QM series, are primary residence only. And so it does allow for non-warrantable condos, single family homes, of course. And so there is a lot of flexibility in these, but it's for geared towards somebody that does not have a social security number in the United States.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And what I really like about, especially the asset qualifier, but in addition to I-10, you can kind of couple up non-QM products together. Like the asset qualifier, I feel like is a great product to get you into a home, mm-hmm. just like I-10 gets you into a home. It doesn't allow for income producing, but for someone who's maybe has an I-10 right now, but they're going to get their social security card later, they can then turn around after getting a home themselves a couple years later, use a DSCR loan to get a investment property,
yes.
or an asset qualifier. Can you qualify buying their own home? A little bit later, they turn back around, get an investment property to make some money on another property and build, essentially build their portfolio, residential portfolio, just strictly through non-QM without really ever looking at a tax return or a pay stub for those two, for asset qualifier and DSCR.
That's correct. Yeah, this is a good way for people to get into the real estate market that otherwise may not qualify through the conventional conforming Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac rules, that box that we talk about that people would have to fit in with as far as debt to income ratios, enough income, stay within those, you know, 45 to 50% debt to income ratio limitations. Have reserves and things like that. So yes, this is a way for people to dip their toes in the real estate industry that may not qualify conventionally, and they can, you know, piggyback different non-QM loans. We've worked with clients that have lived in the non-QM world for years.
Yeah.
Built up their portfolio via non-QM loans, whether it be their primary residence or, like you said, get into the investment property portfolio mindset, and then build up, you know, their real estate, you know, their doors is what the is what they use.
Counting the doors. That's yeah. it.
They count their doors, get their more doors under their wing, and start making money that way. It's a great tool.
That's awesome. Yep. And one thing I do want to mention with the I-10 program, because it is something that we've seen relaxed over the last few years, maybe especially in the last 12 months, is one, it is available for purchase and cash out refinance. Mm-hmm. It also allows for right now, remember the non-QM disclosure, but for right now, it allows for a 50% debt to income ratio, which is one of the highest I've seen in a while. I know they used to have it at 40, they backed up to 43, 45. So if someone has some equity they're sitting on, they want to take advantage of that, they can get a cash out refinance with the I-10 program and allow their debt to income ratios to go up to 50% right now, which is really great. Could help someone, like we've talked about, you know, maybe invest in another property or something.
Yep. And slightly lower credit scores on this one as well, 640, which is great. So a little bit of flexibility there. And just like the other non-QM programs, less seasoning on what we call, you know, credit hiccups or things like that. So people that have had bankruptcies, foreclosures, short sales, deed in lieu of sale, things like that. You know, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac is 4 to 7 years on those different, you know, historic or his credit history events. On these, it's 1 year, 2 years.
That's solid.
Which is great. So again, if you're not going to qualify for the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loan for more reasons than one, such as needing the seasoning from the time lapse of the credit hiccup to where you want to buy, these allow people to get in a lot quicker than Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac loans.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. Once again, these are non-QM products. Please talk to your lender before you submit an offer with one of these offer letters. We want to make sure that the available terms that were discussed originally with your client are still available, so that when they go under contract, they don't have any unexpected change-ups to what they had in mind. This has been Mortgage Mindset. If you found today valuable, if you found it interesting, hit that like button, hit the subscribe. If you want to be a guest, shoot us an email, team@thesherryroundtheteam.com. We'd love to have people on. We had Mike Woljan on out of Apex a couple weeks ago, talked about the taxes and things like that that are happening in Wake County. We'd love to have you on, kind of share your expertise and what you consider what you would be a professional at or what you excel at. We'd love to hear stories from the local community. Give us a shout. Thanks again. We'll talk to you next week. The Mortgage Mindset podcast is hosted by the Sherry Riona team at Clear Mortgage, powered by City First Mortgage Services, LLC. Sherry Riona's NMLS ID is 71774. Visit us at thesherryrionateam.com for more information about our team. The opinions expressed on this show by the hosts and their guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Clear Mortgage or City First Mortgage Services. Please note that Clear Mortgage is powered by City First Mortgages, LLC, and their NMLS ID is 3117. Clear Mortgage and City First Mortgage Services is not an agency of the federal government and is not acting on behalf of or the direction of HUD, FHA. City First Mortgage Services is an equal housing lender. Programs, rates, and terms subject to change without notice. Underwriting terms and conditions apply.